It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Airstrikes continue in the bombed out and leveled city of Mariupol after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told the United Nations Security Council on Tuesday via video hookup that Russian forces had committed war crimes in the parts of Ukraine where they recently left, likening them to terrorists.
They were killed in their apartments, houses, blowing up grenades. Civilians were crushed by tanks while sitting in the cars in the middle of the road, just for their pleasure. They cut off limbs, slashed their throats. Women were raped and killed in front of their children. Their tongues were pulled out only because the aggressor did not hear what they wanted to hear from them. So this is no different from other terrorists such as Daesh.
Zelensky cited gruesome images of alleged atrocities in the town of Bucha, and then he challenged the United Nations to take forceful action and kick Russia out of the Security Council. And he said if they can't do that, then they should just dissolve the chamber entirely. Diplomats called for investigation of the civilian deaths in Bucha that have ignited outrage around the world, but Russia's Security Council veto prevented them from doing anything. Then Russia's UN ambassador told the council that Ukraine's evidence that Russian troops killed civilians in Bucha was fake. As President Biden announces even more sanctions against the Russians in response, American authorities working with Spanish authorities on Tuesday seized a Russian oligarch's huge yacht. Attorney General Merrick Garland said, quote, "Today marks our task force's first seizure of an asset belonging to a sanctioned individual with close ties to the Russian regime. It will not be the last." All right. Meanwhile, here at home, Republican Sharia law is spreading. In Oklahoma, the Republican-controlled legislature passed a near-total ban on all abortions on Tuesday. The bill would make it a felony to perform an abortion except to save the life of a pregnant woman in a medical emergency. That's it. A violation would carry a prison term of up to 10 years and a $100,000 fine. Now, Oklahoma is just the latest Republican-led state to pass new abortion restrictions, setting up opportunities for the Supreme Court's newly packed right-wing majority to roll back abortion rights guaranteed by the Roe v. Wade decision. The bill in Oklahoma, which the governor is expected to sign, came after the state became a destination for women from Texas who were seeking legal abortions after their state banned the procedure after 6 weeks, which is before most women even know they're pregnant. Just sickening. Former President Barack Obama returned to the White House for the first time in 5 years on Tuesday to join President Biden as he signed an executive order telling federal agencies to find ways to improve Medicare and the Affordable Care Act. Biden also called for lowering costs of the federal health insurance programs. The Biden administration announced it would close the so-called family glitch, which blocks premium assistance through Obamacare for people getting health care through a relative's work. Republicans, of course, accused Biden of trampling the authority of Congress. But the fact is that this could help 200,000 uninsured Americans get comprehensive health insurance while making coverage cheaper for another million more people. It's something the White House can do on its own without Congress, despite what the Republicans say. As expected, the White House has extended the student loan payment pause through August 31st. The pandemic-era relief for borrowers was set to end next month. The extension means that some 41 million people will get a few additional months without interest accruing on their debt and with more time to save money. Though saving right now, not necessarily in the cards. And critics are asking for a more permanent solution to the student loan problem. Progressive politicians and activists want the debt forgiven altogether. So Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is one step closer to being confirmed as the first Black woman to sit as a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer had to file a discharge petition and hold a vote in the whole chamber in order to move the nomination out of a tie in the committee. But with the votes of Republicans Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitt Romney, that wasn't an issue. The final vote will happen either Thursday or Friday. But there's one more bill being held up by Republicans. It's another round of much-needed COVID relief. A $10 billion compromise package is at risk, well, has been stalled in the Senate because of a partisan fight over whether to allow a vote on an amendment to reinstate the Title 42 restrictions that had been used to deny migrants asylum claims at the U.S.-Mexican border. Chuck Schumer warned Republicans on Tuesday not to take the bill hostage by insisting on a vote. Title 42, in case you didn't know, was the Trump policy that allowed mass deportations with zero regard to claims of asylum due to the fear of COVID. This despite U.S. law that guarantees the right to seek asylum and prohibits sending people back to places where they'll be prosecuted or tortured. So first it was Jared Kushner sitting for 6 hours of questioning by the January 6th committee earlier this week. And on Tuesday, it was Ivanka's turn. Yeah, the former president's daughter and one of his closest advisors answered questions for a reported 8 hours. Congressman Benny Thompson, the chairman of the panel, said she was not, quote, chatty, but had been helpful to the investigation. She's one of more than 800 witnesses the committee has already interviewed and the first of Trump's children known to speak with the committee. And finally, how are you doing in this, the age of rising gas prices, grocery prices, rent, and, well, general inflation? Well, the Wall Street Journal just issued a new analysis that shows median pay for the top executives of the S&P 500 companies, I hope you're sitting down, rose to $14.2 million last year. That's up from an already record $13.4 million for the same companies just 1 year earlier. Incredibly, most business leader salaries increased by at least 11%. And for nearly one-third of them, their pay rose by at least 25%. So far, David Zaslav of Discovery had the highest salary disclosed among those S&P 500 companies at $247 million. That's followed closely by Amazon's Andy Jassy, with his compensation valued at nearly $213 million. I know, you're wondering, what about the rank-and-file employees? Well, their pay rose, too, in some cases, by 3.1% or less at half of the companies. At one-third of the companies, median employee pay declined year over year. The Journal writing, quote, CEOs at roughly half the companies were paid at least 186 times what their median worker made in 2021. That's up from 166 times in the year before the pandemic and 156 times in 2018, the first year that nearly all S&P 500 companies reported median employee pay. There's something really rotten in the U.S. labor system. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.